Welcome to the Oldie Literary Lunch, sponsored by Noble Caledonia, the world experts in small ship cruising.
Well, thank you very much. It's lovely to be back here. And I must say, Matthew, you certainly renew horrors of going to Colindale. Absolute nightmare. But of course, it's even worse now with newspapers.com, because I'm doing my next book, which is 90,000 words long, and there were 333,000 entries of this particular person. So how do you deal with that one? Tricky. Anyway, it's great fun to be talking about Queen Mary. Seldom has a book been so long in gestation. The quest for Queen Mary is a bit like an undiscovered bomb laid down years ago and only detonated very recently. James Pope Hennessy published his superb Queen Mary biography in 1959, and while researching it, he kept notes on the extraordinary figures that he visited in his quest in order to understand her. And he called this a private and confidential file, recording in considerable detail the interviews he had with them, their homes, and their various eccentricities. These notes were written between 1955 and 1958. He embargoed them for 50 years, and I've waited 60 years now before publishing them, all 73,000 words. And this didn't come about entirely by chance. I bought his biography in a second-hand bookshop in Windsor on the afternoon of Sir Winston Churchill's state funeral, 30th of January, 1965. I was then 13, and it took me some time to read it, as I'd never read a biography before, but what a great start. I've read the book about five times since, much more easily, I have to say. And James Pope Hennessy has been my role model ever since. He not only wrote beautifully, but he expressed himself with wry and subtle understatement. He employs what is called litotes. Now, I know that sounds a little bit like a tropical disease, or maybe a figure in a Greek play. Enter litotes, stage left, holding a spear. But it is, in fact, the affirmation of the positive by the denial of the negative. Thus, to express the greed of King Edward VII, the king was not known to toy with his food. An example cropped up recently in Kenneth Rose's diaries. Sir John Wheeler Bennett was struggling to find a way to express the fact that King George VI never read a book. And Kenneth Rose suggested, his harshest critic could not accuse him of being a bookish pedant. It's a coded device which we often use in obituaries, as perhaps a relentlessly social man, he nevertheless remained devoted to his wife. Authorised royal biographies like Sir Sidney Lee on Edward VII, Harold Nicholson and John Gore under George V, and Wheeler Bennett on George VI have all rather undeniably restrained, and they have their turgid moments. And this greatly worried Pope Hennessy. He was terrified that an editorial red pen would excise chunks from his book. In fact, this didn't happen, thanks to the support of Sir Alan Tommy Lascelles, who steered the book through. Now, arguably, Pope Hennessy did employ some self-censorship, and yet it's extraordinary what he got away with. He described Queen Mary's enormously fat mother, the Duchess of Teck, as a personage of unusual girth. And he quoted Lord Clarendon on her, on the problem of finding this large lady a husband. No German prince would embark on such a vast undertaking. Writing of the future Queen Mary's reaction to being engaged to the Duke of Clarence as received with the effect of a douche of cold water full in the face. This is not, I think you'll agree, the language of the tedious official royal biography, and none the worse for that. But still he felt that Queen Mary needed to be recorded on paper. So in The Quest, you get the stories that he did not dare to publish back in 1959. And it's been my job to make sure that that happened, and it's been a long journey. In 2005 or so, I set out to work quietly at home, putting the interviews in context and explaining who the people were. Great fun, as you can imagine. And there's no reason, I think, why footnotes should not be boring. I discovered, for example, that Lady Susan Grant was a writer and designer of ceramics. In later life, she spent much time in a caravan or up a tree, communicating with her butler through a megaphone. I paid a rewarding visit to the Getty Museum in Los Angeles, where James's papers live, as part of those of his brother, Sir John Pope Hennessy. But there was still no publishing deal in place. It was all done unpaid and without a contract. So then, in 2008, I submitted the book to my agent, Gillan Aitken. By then, he was more or less completely disillusioned by the publishing market, and not without reason. He said that I knew far too much about obscure German royalty and advised me to drop the footnotes, and so the book languished. But in 2017, Tom Perrin, then aged 24, set up Zuleika and immediately saw the point of the book. Universally good reviews have assured us a deal with Hodder, and now we have 30,000 copies out in the world in various forms, and it still hasn't yet appeared as a paperback. And what of these interviews? Well, you go right into the room with Pope Hennessy. One afternoon, he discussed Queen Mary with one of her ladies-in-waiting, Maggie Wyndham. James, leading and disingenuous question. Of course, Queen Mary must have had a very funny sense of humour. It was indeed a funny sense of humour. No, I meant a really good sense of humour. She had no sense of humour at all. What she had was a sense of the ridiculous, which I never think is at all the same thing. We often had good laughs on our way back from some royal function, mind you, and sometimes I would catch her eye at one of them, and we would wink at each other. But it was purely a sense of the ridiculous, like all royalty, as a matter of fact. Well, it then transpired that poor Maggie Wyndham sometimes had to read to Queen Mary for 7 hours at a stretch. Queen Mary would be doing her needlework, and sometimes she would fall asleep, but her hands would go on working. And when Queen Mary woke up again, Miss Wyndham had to unpick all the stitches, which were all over the place. Sometimes, you won't be surprised to hear, Miss Wyndham got hoarse from reading, and Queen Mary told Princess Arthur of Connaught, "Maggie is so stupid, she gets hoarse, and then her voice gives out." "As though," said Princess Arthur, "Miss Wyndham were a gramophone needing a new needle." Well, I haven't got much time to tell you any more, really, except perhaps a couple of descriptions. Of the Duke of Gloucester, Prince Henry, the Queen's uncle. He is tall and bulky, and his head is wonderfully Hanoverian, flat at the back and rising to the royal pineapple point of William IV. He is an immensely kind, potentially irritable man whose chief aim in life is to laugh. This, as is well known, he does in his own manner, an hysterical piglet squeal which becomes uncontrollable and which I found infectious. The Duchess of Windsor. This is one of the very oddest women I have ever seen. It is impossible to assess what makes her function or why. She is, to look at, phenomenal. She is flat and angular and could have been designed for a medieval playing card. The shoulders are small and high, the head very, very large, almost monumental. The great gig-lamp smile, the wide, wide open eyes, which are very large and pale and veined, the painted lips and the cannibal teeth. In this book, there are a host of wonderful figures, the barrel-like Princess of Vied, the heavy-drinking Prince Axel of Denmark, Dom Odo with many a rolling chin, and the sinister Mother Martha, guardian of the gate of the painfully shy Grand Duchess Xenia. I can assure you it has been a pure joy bringing these forgotten figures to life and bringing them out into the daylight. Thank you very much.
The Oldie magazine is available at all good newsagents. But you can also subscribe and book tickets for the literary lunches at theoldie.co.uk.